So we have been going through a series, this is the second week, on laments. And so we're going to change up our series a little bit of how I said last week. So this week, or last week, it was all about Psalm 77, and it was about turning to God in the midst of our hard times, in the midst of grief, sadness, whatever it is that we're walking through. The point of the call is to turn to God in it. And so this week what we're going to do is we're going to look at the next three steps in lamenting. So we're going to look at basically how do you lament? What do you do after you turn to God? And so we're going to be looking at complaining, asking boldly, and choosing to trust God. And then next week what we're going to see is in the book of Lamentations, what do we learn from laments? What do we learn from them? And so this week we're looking at Psalm chapter 13 and looking at how do we lament. And so what I've learned is that from many of us is that we all go through hard times. For example, you're driving down the road. It's peaceful. Eyes on the road. All of a sudden, your wife's next to you, and you hear, what do you do at that moment? You freak out, and you start yelling at her for gasping, okay? Dara, she's stopped doing that. Because I've yelled at her enough times for doing that. But we all go through hard times, right? That could cause problems in your marriage, whatever it is. And so but what I've learned is that, like, there's so many of us who go through really difficult times. I've had people text me this week saying, hey, listen, I'm so glad you preached on this. I'm so glad you were talking about laments. We don't talk about this, but I've had this happen in my life, be it marriage problems or an unexpected death or suicide, or we've had problems with children, and so we've had so many issues that we just don't talk about a lot because it's sad, and we don't want to bring it up. We feel like we need to bottle things up, and so in walking through laments, it's been overwhelmingly positive from what I've heard, and so we're gonna do it again today. We're gonna look at another lament psalm in Psalm chapter 13, and looking at how do we lament. And so before we begin, let's pray together. And then we'll look at this psalm. So, Father, come before you, and we thank you so much for your word and for the opportunity we have to learn from it and gain wisdom from it and knowing how do we walk through this life in which we're trying to follow you, but it's messy. And so we need you. And so I pray for you to open our hearts and open our minds to hear what you want to say to us through your word today, that we'd be receptive to it. And that we'd be able to follow you and trust you more. And so we pray for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so let's look at Psalm chapter 13. So if you're new to the Bible, Psalm is it's in the Old Testament. If 13 is the big number, it's the chapter. And then the verse is a small number on the page. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 13, verse 1. It says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? I'm just going to read these. These aren't all going to be on the screen. I didn't do that for them. How long will I store up anxious concerns within me, agony within my mind every day? How long will my enemy dominate me? Consider me and answer, Lord my God. Restore brightness to my eyes. Otherwise, I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have triumphed over him, and my foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your deliverance, and I will sing to the Lord because he has treated me generously. And so this psalmist, this is David who wrote this, and he's complaining to God. He's going through really hard times in his life. A lot of his early time before he became a king, he spent running from a guy who was actively trying to kill him. And so that's probably not living your best life now for him. So he's trying to follow God. Dude's trying to kill him. And so he's crying out to God saying, God, I need you. I need your help. Because the guy trying to kill him is a king who's got an army and Navy SEALs who are coming after him. And his job is just to run and hide in caves. That's his life. And so he's crying out to God saying, like, God, how long? How long is this going to happen? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And for many of us, you can expect, like, we've been here before in walking through grief and walking through sadness and walking through marriage problem, whatever it is, we've been to the point where we're wondering, like, what? How long? Like, how long are we going to go through this, walk through this? How long is this issue going to be here? How long until I'm happy again? And he turns and he says, God, like, how long will you hide your face from me? And this is interesting. For us, it's kind of like poetic language. Sure, God, you're hiding your face from me. I can't see you. I can't feel your presence in my life. But for them, as an Old Testament Jew, God hiding his face was a severe thing. I want to show you this. That indicates God hates you or God's angry at you. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. It'll be on the screen for you. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read like three verses and turn back. But Deuteronomy chapter 31, Joshua is taking over for Moses. Moses is going to die, and Joshua is the next man up to lead God's people. And look at verse 16. The Lord said to Moses, "You are about to rest with your fathers, and these people will soon prostitute themselves with foreign gods of the land they are entering. They will abandon me and break the covenant I have made with them. My anger will burn against them on that day. I will abandon them," catch this, "and hide my face from them so that they will become easy prey. Many troubles and afflictions will come up to them. On that day, they will say, 'Haven't these troubles come to us because our God is no longer with us?' I will certainly hide my face on that day because of all the evil they have done by turning to other gods." So God hiding his face from his people indicated that God was angry at them and was bringing judgment upon them. And for David, he's walking through this and he's like, "I don't get it. How long am I going to walk through this? How long are you going to hide your face from me? Am I going to feel like you're angry at me? And like, this is just coming upon me. Like, I'm getting judgment here. Like, how long? Like, why is this happening?" And so David is feeling, he's feeling this rejection, feeling this anger from God. And for these people, that was a terrifying experience. Because the call for them was always seek God's face. The pinnacle of knowing God was Moses, in which he went up on the mountain and he saw God, right? That was the pinnacle of like relationship with God. No one was closer to God than Moses. That was the pinnacle of seeing his face, but God hiding his face was complete rejection. And that is what David is feeling. And we know that he wasn't. Remember, in Samuel, calls him a man after God's own heart. God didn't reject him, but that's what he was feeling at that moment. And for many of us, we have been there in feeling that. Look at Job chapter 13. Job, who was a man who experienced incredibly difficult things at the beginning of his the book, he's really wealthy. He's got a full family. Many, like six or nine, I should have looked that up. I don't know how many kids he had. But he had a bunch of kids, nine kids, six kids, something like that. And all of a sudden, he's out working, and a man comes to him and says, "Hey, your house has just been destroyed. Everything's been destroyed." Another man comes and tells him, "Oh, and all of your children have just been murdered." It was a raid, and then like the house is burned down, and the kids were in it, and the house, they all died in the fire. And so he's out there, and he had this his full family, and all of a sudden, in one day, every bit of it was taken away from him. And he's walking through this process of grief, of sadness, of anger, of like just like trying to, how do I walk through this? How do I live in this? And look what he's responding to his friend in chapter 13. And like praying to God. And here's what he prays. He says, "Why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy?" That's what Job prays to God. And the whole point of the book is that Job is not God's enemy. That's the point of the book. The whole end of the book is that Job was faithful and God said, "Look at this guy. He's faithful. He's mine. Check him out. For all this horrible stuff to him, He's going to still be faithful to me." That's the point. But in the midst of the incredibly hard time, Job turns to God and he's like, "Why do you hate me? Why are you rejecting me? Why are you hiding your face from me?" And that was his experience. Was that truly the case? Did God really hate him? Or did God really, like, was he really angry at him? No. But in that moment, did he feel that's what was happening? Yes. That's what he felt. And so what he did is he turned to God. and he brought it out to him. And he's just letting God in on what's happening in his heart. And he says, God, I trust you. I'm about to choke on my spit. He's like, I trust you. I'm trying to follow you. And I'm feeling this, and I want to get it out because I want to work through this. I want to reach an end point to where I'm not here anymore. That's what he's saying. And so let's go back to Psalm chapter 13. Psalm chapter 13. So how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Catch this out, because this is what we do a lot of the time. How long will I store up anxious concerns within me? Agony in my mind every day. Because as you're walking through difficult stuff, painful things in life, what do? You dwell on it. You sit and you think. Then you worry, you get angry, then you worry more, you try to be happy, but then you get angry because you start to think about it more, and you lay in bed and you're like, what is happening here? You start to dwell over and over, and it becomes agony in your mind that you can't move away from. And that's what he's feeling. Look what he says next. How long will my enemy dominate me? And so what he's showing us here, what David is showing us, is the first step in how do we lament. First, he turns to God, but then what does he do? He complains. He complains. He lets everything that's in his heart, what he's feeling, what's truly there, what's actually happening in his life, in his heart, he lets it out before God, and he says, listen, how long are you going to let this happen? Why are you letting me dwell on this to where it just becomes agony within me? Like, how long are you going to let this enemy, be it cancer, be it sickness, be it a person who's trying to kill me like David, whatever the thing may be, how long are you going to let this dominate me? What's going on? That's the first step in lamenting, is you bring your legitimate complaint to God and say, what are you doing about this? But it's not good to remain there. But I want you to see this. Look, all of his complaints, look what they do. In the verse 1, look what he says. It's all about his relationship to God. He says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? It's about him and God. He feels rejected. He feels forgotten. But then look what he moves on to. He says, listen, how long will I store up anxious concerns within me? Agony in my mind. He's saying, I've got this internal struggle that's happening inside of me. And then he says, how long will my enemy dominate me? It's external. And so he's coming to God, and he's in complete turmoil. It's internal, it's external, it's between him and God. He's wondering, what is happening? He's feeling like he's drowning in it. That's where he's at. And so complaining is good. Complaining is good because you can get all these things out there to God. You can get it out there to God. Honesty allows you to begin to work through what's really happening within you emotionally. And that's not a bad thing. But it's not good to remain there. It's not good to stay there forever, because that's the pathway to despair. It's the pathway to be aimless, essentially. But the pathway towards trust moves on to the next verse. Look what he does. Look what he does in verse 3. He cries out to God. And he asks boldly. He says, here's my complaints, but then here's what I want you to do about it. Look what he says. Consider me an answer, Lord my God. Restore brightness to my eyes. Otherwise, I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have triumphed over him, and my foes will rejoice because I am shaken. You know what he just said? Here's his request. He says, cry out to God. He says, consider me an answer, Lord my God. And here's his request. Here's his main request. This is his bold ask to God. Restore brightness to my eyes. Kind of interesting. Here's what that means. Vitality. Vitality. So the opposite of this is dimness. Look what Job says in chapter 17. It'll be on the screen for you. Here's what Job says in chapter 17, verse 7. He's like, my eyes have grown dim from grief. My whole body has become but a shadow. And that's what's happening inside of him. That's where he's at. And here's what he prays. He says, God, restore brightness to my eyes. You know what he's saying there? God, make me happy again. So he's praying. He's walking through this, and his one prayer is, make me happy again. Isn't that crazy? That's his bold ask. But the truth is that what we want when we're walking through this stuff is we want a time in which we are not sad anymore. We're not just going through the motions. We're not just depressed. We want to be happy. We want to be at peace. And that's what he prays to God. He says, but he puts it all out there before God. He demonstrates faith, and he says, God, I turn to you. I want you to make me happy again. And then look what he says. If you don't do this, look, otherwise I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have triumphed over him, and my foes will rejoice because I'm shaken. These are his fears. So if you don't make me happy again, I'm going to sleep in death. I'm going to continue on, in my depression, continue on in my sadness and my emptiness, all the way until despair. And my enemy's taunts will govern over me. The taunt of this person, this taunt of this cancer, the taunt of this marriage that's falling apart, the taunt of whatever the thing is. He says, my enemy's taunts will govern over me. He says, I want you to race them and make me happy again. That's what I want. And so this request demonstrates great faith in God. He puts everything out there. And so here's the call to action for us. Here's the call. Turn to God. In the midst of our sadness, in the midst of our grief, turn to him and ask him. Ask him to move. Ask him to do things in your heart, in your life, spiritually, to where you can walk through this and gain faith. That's what the call is. That's what he's telling us. Express your dependence upon him. To change your attitude, to change your circumstances, express your dependence, turn to him. That's what David does. And his simple prayer was, make me happy again. And maybe that's a prayer that one of us in here needs to make today. Maybe that's a prayer you need to make. You just say, God, make me happy again. I need you to work in my heart. And then here's the last thing. Look where he turned next. Look where he turned next in verse 5. After requesting and putting everything out there before God, he chose to trust. He chose to trust. In Psalm chapter 13, verse 5, he says, but I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your deliverance. And I will sing to the Lord because he has treated me generously. Catch this. I have trusted in your faithful love. Because he knows in the midst of walking through this, his emotions tell him God doesn't care, God's angry at him, God has rejected him. But in his heart, he knows the truth and that God is there and that God loves. And it's the truth. Is that he turned his heart to say, even though I feel this way about you, I'm going to choose to trust you because I believe you're good. And look what he says, my heart will rejoice in your deliverance. For the Christian, you know what that means? That Jesus wants you. Jesus wants you. In the midst of all of your brokenness, in the midst of all of your sadness, all of your grief, all of your anger, all of your irritableness, all of your tiredness, and every bit of that, all of your broken world that it didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to be, but in the midst of all of this, Jesus wants that. He wants you. That is his deliverance. And so what he did is he came and he died on the cross, the penalty for the sin that broke our world and caused it to be this way. And when he rose from the dead, what he did is he gained the right to make everything right. And now here's what he says. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 11. After that, he says this. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. David's praying. He says, I'm gonna rejoice in your deliverance. And for us, what that means is we can turn to Jesus and rejoice because he is the God who's come for us and desires to take our broken lives and give us a future. When he died, he gained the right to make everything right. And so we know that that is our future. That's the end point of the gospel. What that means when we believe in Jesus is we gain a future to where we will be renewed along with this world that will be renewed to become just like Jesus, who is renewed in his resurrection. He was the first one. And he says, if you believe in me and follow me, that's what you gain. A future away from pain, away from suffering, away from sadness. And so in the middle of this hard, difficult time, in the middle of this hard time, that's where we turn. We take refuge in him and we trust him because he is the one who will make everything right one day. And so how do we walk in between those times? How do we walk now? We choose to trust. We choose to trust him. And look what this does. Look where this turns for David in verse 6. He says, I will sing to the Lord because he has treated me generously. Isn't that a profound thing to say at the very end of this? He's saying, God, I want to lay everything out there before you. I want to complain. Let you know where I think you're messed up. But then he turns and says, but God, I need you to work in my life. And after he prays, he says, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you in this. And that leads him to praise God for what he has done and what he will do. What he has done in the past, how he knows, in the past, Jesus has come for him. And in the meantime, Jesus has given him grace for today. But he knows that in the future, he will have a glorious future in which he will be renewed to live with God forever on a new heaven and a new earth. And so he says, so I'm going to praise you because I know you hold me in your hand. And you haven't forgotten me. You've dealt with me generously. And that's where he's at. That's where he's at. And so where are you? Do you need to walk through this? And so as the band comes up, I'm going to give us an opportunity to assess, where are we at? Where are we at? Where's our heart? Where are we, in relation to God? Have we ever experienced, the process of moving from sadness and grief to complete, or to trust? Doesn't mean you'll never have doubts, you'll never have anger again, but it means for today, it means for this moment, you can turn to God and you trust him. Doesn't mean your anxiety doesn't come back. Jesus says he'll give you grace for today. And so have you taken it? Have you taken hold of that and turned to him and said, God, this is where I'm at, and I want to trust you, and I want to praise you because you haven't forgotten me. And so I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So as the band plays, just for a second, I want to give you an opportunity to respond and just pray. Maybe it's time for you to complain. Maybe you've been complaining for years, and it's time for you to move beyond that and ask boldly and then actually choose to trust him. Maybe that's what you need to do today. So where are you at with Jesus? So if you need someone to pray with, I'll be here on the side. Bryn will be over there. But you may just need to be by yourself for a minute and just turn to God and say, God, I need you.